Why doesn't the hero reveal himself and tell us his name? You do have a name.
My name is Gladiator.
How dare you show your back to me? Slave! You will remove your helmet and tell me your name!
My name is Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, and general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant to the true Emperor Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife, and I will have my vengeance in this life or the next.
Lindsay Leverage is here.
Hey, everybody.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good.
Yeah.
I had a good weekend. I slept in.
Oh, really?
That's good. It's a not common commodity.
Really?
When you have a toddler, so stay in bed till 9 is like luxury.
Oh, yeah.
It was a luxury. Yeah.
So before we get to our usual segments, I wanted to bring up this past week, I saw a live production at the Pasadena Playhouse here in Los Angeles of my all-time number one favorite musical, Little Shop of Horrors. Now,
oh shoot!
You've seen this movie?
Yes,
I showed it to you.
Yes, you did.
I love that musical, and I took a date to see it, and it was very interesting because it. First of all. Absolutely incredible production, and they're mostly just doing the movie. So,
okay,
the lead actor they have it's mostly a Black and Latino cast, which is wonderful. And the lead actor that they have is has like the best Rick Moranis impression I think I've ever seen.
Oh wow,
just flawless, like doing that the entire time, like just totally pulling it off. In this one, Audrey 2 is a giant orchid.
Okay.
Instead of, you know, the way it looks in the movie, and it's played by a woman, and it'll open its petals and it come out from behind the stage. It's a giant puppet, and it'll come out from behind the stage and like fuck with Seymour with with its pistol. Like,
oh, okay,
yeah,
with its flower penis.
Yeah, it's really good. I was just laughing and clapping. My date was like, "Wait, she had never seen it before." And was like, "Wait, does everyone die in this?" I was like, "Yeah.
Yes,
yes,
yes." The She's evil like, flowers propagate and they wipe out humanity
because humanity fucking sucks. And so, yeah. Like, it's very angry and dark, but it's my favorite. And like, so
how was the suddenly Seymour?
Oh, likes. Incredible. Like, so the lady played Audrey is played by one of the main actresses from the show Pose, which haven't gotten to yet. But
yeah, me neither, but I've really been meaning to.
I've heard it's very, very good. And she was, like, Ellen Green in the original movie has, like, these pipes, like, just destroys that number. And
yeah.
So did this lady in this one. Like, just totally wrecked it. Like, I was so impressed. The Ronettes, you know, the ladies who were playing the Ronettes, really, really, really killed it. I was just so happy. But my date was like, "This is your favorite musical?" And I was like, "I don't think this is going to work out."
what about the dentist number? Was that good too?
Oh, it was fucking fantastic. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, they did Dennis. They didn't do Mean Green Mother from Outer Space, which is one of my favorite songs of all time.
Yeah.
But you have to license that because it's movie only. It's not in the original book.
Oh,
it's
okay.
Only in the film. So you have to license that, and it's expensive. So I understand why they didn't want to do it. But boy, it was a tremendous production. So if you have the means, it's playing through the end of October here in Pasadena. And I strongly recommend you go check it out if you have an open mind and like weird dark shit. That one was made, that musical, it was made by Howard Ashman and Alan Menken, who made most of your favorite Disney movies. Like, the Disney movies that you've seen and remember, they made them. Which is why it's so fucking impressive. And the music is so good the whole way through. Like, I think I have the entire thing basically memorized.
You've seen it so many times at this point.
I love that show. Yeah. No, it's one of my all-time favorites. Like, it was phenomenal. And I didn't give a shit that my date didn't like it. Like, I was
be honest, you were there for you. So
if you're not weird enough to like this. But anyway, have you seen any movies lately?
I haven't seen any movies lately, but I did tune in for the first two episodes of the new American Horror Story 1984.
So how is that?
Okay, so I think you told me earlier that you haven't caught American Horror Story before.
No,
and at this point, it's like Ryan Murphy's like yearly October thing. And each one usually is a mashup of a couple different classic horror things. And they've gotten progressively more and more what the fuck as they've gone on.
Really?
So, like, yes. Yeah, so I would say, like, at this point, like, don't expect anything remotely close to, I don't know, I don't take them seriously. I guess at this point it's more like kind of soap opera with horror overtones and not being able to guess what's going to happen next because it's always trying to like top itself.
Hmm.
I guess if I were to put it into context, if you were to go watch American Horror Story Apocalypse, which just went on Netflix, I've only watched the first couple episodes of that one, but Kathy Bates plays a robot.
Okay.
She doesn't look anything different than her usual self. She's just Kathy Bates as a robot. And nuclear war happened and they're like in an underground bunker and everything's controlled by like some sort of something called the cooperative. And Kathy Bates is a robot. And it's just sort of like, okay, all right, then what's next? Because I don't know how you're going to top this. And the answer is 1984. And so what they've done in it's set obviously during the 1984 Olympics in Los Angeles. And, it's just all about jazzercise and, campy 80s stuff. One guy looks like George Michael. Like he looks just like George Michael. And like the slasher flicks of the time. Right. So they've invented their own slasher and it's all at a campground by a lake.
Oh, well,
then
I wonder what that's referencing.
Yes, which one, really? Because there's, yeah. So the slasher in this, his name is Mr. Jingles.
Really?
Yeah, really.
All right.
His name's Mr. Jingles, and he's called that because he was the caretaker of the camp, and he had all the keys.
Okay.
Okay. And so far, at the end of episode two, we're probably going to see a face-off between him and real-life serial killer, the Night Stalker, Richard Ramirez.
I see.
So it's like a Freddy versus Jason sort of situation. Only one guy has a skullet and a lot of keys that he jingles around. And the other guy actually killed people in 1984 and believed he was like the son of Satan or something.
Interesting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Like, I honestly, like, I want to get to it. I want to get to it at some point because Ryan Murphy tends to not make uninteresting things,
right?
Like, you know what I mean? Like, it might not be the greatest thing you've ever seen, but it's probably not going to be boring.
Yeah,
like that's generally my attitude towards his shit.
Yes, I would say that his stuff is not, in as far as American Horror Story goes, it's not boring. Like, okay, so like Matthew Morrison is in this season, who you might remember as the teacher from Glee.
Oh, Jesus. All right.
But he's got a porno stash and he wears like tiny shorts and his whole gimmick is that he has a giant penis.
Oh, God. Okay.
And that he was in a Jane Fonda jazzercise video, but they had to cut him out of it because his dick was too distracting.
All right. Okay. I'm sold. All right.
You're like, I'll on board. It. All right, then.
I'll watch it. Yeah. So, this week, there weren't really, well, okay, we intend, I apologize for the interruption in service. Last week, I had caught a cold and couldn't quite tape, and so we have two shows for you this week. We're also going to cover the film Joker later this week.
Yeah, oh God.
Which is coming. Oh boy, that's coming.
Yeah, that's Thursday.
It's predicted for $100 million opening.
I mean, I pre-ordered my ticket.
We will cover that. But last week, we had intended to cover the film Ridley Scott's Gladiator from 2001.
That movie's almost 20 years old. How does that make you feel?
Whatever. I saw it in college for the first time. Then mm-hmm. I saw it this movie is one of my absolute all-time favorites. Now, I love historical fiction. I really love it. Like, I like it, you know, I like the drama of it and the power of it.
And the costumes.
And the incredible costumes and everything.
Yeah.
So, here's what this movie is about if you haven't somehow seen Gladiator, which won Best Picture, by the way, which is kind of weird considering, you know, I don't know. Considering it. This movie is about a general named Maximus, who is a kind man who just wants to go back to his wife and kid, but instead gets fucked up by Commodus, who murders his father, the Emperor Marcus Aurelius, and then consigns him basically to slavery. And he winds up as a gladiator and then sticks it to the man, like fucks him up. And basically, like, it becomes such a good warrior in the arena, like in combat, that he basically pulls in the mob, you know, the mob of Rome, which they refer to frequently in the film. He gets them on his side. And then Commodus fucking murders him. Basically, they murder each other. Like, that's kind of what happens.
Yeah.
And then Commodus' sister sort of takes over. I fucking love that movie. Yeah. Like, it is so powerful and, like, has so many fun moments in it. And, like, I don't know. I really love it. What did you think?
So... Yes, I really, really enjoyed Gladiator. It had been a long time since I'd revisited it. I don't know that I'd watched it since I saw it in theaters.
Yeah,
I'm kind of bad at going back and revisiting movies, even when I really like them. Mm. But the costumes are amazing, and so are the sets. The sets are amazing. Like when they're in Germany at the beginning, fighting
Germania.
Germania. They're fighting. Basically Druidic tribes there, and it's like snowing and everyone's got like gorgeous fur, like coats and shit, and they're like fighting they're sword fighting. And then he still does some pretty interesting, despite this being more or less an action film, a historical action film, he still does some really interesting stuff with the cinematography in it.
I really
like the scenes where Maximus is passed out and then the ground is moving underneath him, but his body doesn't look like he's moving. And that's sort of like their way of showing that he's in and out of consciousness.
Right.
He's not like aware of what's going on around him, but it's just they're really cool shots. And he does it, I think, twice.
Yeah. A couple times. Yeah.
A couple times. But honestly, I think Commodus is the most complicated and maybe interesting character in the film, despite being the villain. Like, that guy's got some depth of dysfunction going on there. That's kind of fun to pick apart.
It's a little fucked up. Yeah. Like he's trying to have sex with his sister and take over Rome.
Yeah.
So
he murders his father in cold blood because his father's going to give Rome temporarily to Maximus with the idea that Maximus will actually hand it over to the Senate.
Right.
And herald in democracy.
Yeah.
But you know, that's not cool with Commodus because, like, he's been trying real hard. He's been trying real, real hard to be emperor worthy to his dad. And man, he feels like he deserves it. So he just murders his dad and then has the troops kill Maximus's family pretty brutally.
Yeah. And then taunts him, like, right to his face.
Yeah. Oh,
Your God. Wife moaned like a whore.
could. And like, yes, you can tell, like, Maximus has to, like, reel it in. He's like, man, I could just fucking decapitate you right here, and no one would fault me.
But, yeah, it's nuts. Like,
but I've got to make an example of you in front of all the people so that they'll accept democracy and, yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't know. I love that movie. Like, it's so powerful, and it has so much in it. Like, I love the scenes where Maximus comes out and there's like cherry blossom petals falling.
Uh-huh.
Like it's gorgeous. Like it's pretty gorgeous. I honestly think like, well, it's funny too, because there's like, so there's two cuts of this. There's a regular, there's a theatrical cut and then the extended cut. But if you watch the Blu-ray, Ridley Scott comes out himself and says like, well, the theatrical cut was the one that I wanted to make, but they asked me to make an extended cut, so here it is.
Like, here's an extra 20 minutes.
Yeah, here's another 20 minutes for you. I don't care. I don't give a shit, though. Like,
yeah,
it's funny. Like, but man, I love that movie, and I think it's worth people revisiting it after all this time. Also, like, probably the best performance Russell Crowe's ever given. Like, yeah, he's given a lot of performances, and this one I think is his strongest. But
yeah, which is interesting because he actually doesn't have a lot of lines. You know, like a lot of, he's pretty stoic through a lot of the film, especially once he's put into slavery as a gladiator and he's just found out that his kid and his wife are dead. But before he meets Commodus's nephew, like, you can tell he's just spending a lot of time grieving and angry, but not actually talking very much.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, no, man, that's a good one. Like,
yeah,
I have a real fandom like thing with sort of historical fiction. Like, Ridley Scott went on to make Kingdom of Heaven, which is also a wonderful movie starring Orlando Bloom. If you watch
Edward Norton,
if you watch the director's cut, it's excellent and probably his second strongest movie. But I think this one is his, maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. Guy made fucking Alien, so like, how do you rank these things?
Yeah, right. there's a lot of good pull quotes from Gladiator 2 that I really liked, as far as like, I don't know, stuff that like speaks to your warrior heart.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
There's a part where Maximus says, brothers, what we do in life echoes in eternity.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, yeah, people will remember me too. Or something. It's like heartening if or something. You, the idea that, I don't know, even now you could.
Then you're in Elysium something. And you're already dead.
Right.
It's real. It's a real strong warrior. Like, spirit, like the spirit of that movie, I it speaks to me quite a lot. I like it a lot. But anyway, so what's in the news?
Oh, okay, what's in the news? Let's see, we have, let's start with something I'm excited about. Gen Urobuchi's back.
He is.
He's Guess got a new thing back. You guys, he's got a new thing. It's gonna be on YouTube
back again.
It's going to be on YouTube, and it's a 3D CG anime with human-piloted robots. Not, like, giant robots. We're not talking, like, Gundam. It's more, like, power suit sort of thing. A lot of it's still under wraps, but it's supposed to take place in an alternate timeline where aliens have made contact with Earth, and they're like, we just want to trade with you guys. No discrimination, none of that. We don't want to get involved in any of your weird stuff, but we'd like to open, you know, trade with you Earthlings. And it kind of goes from there, I guess. So that's just sort of background on the idea. Don't really know what the full plot's going to be. But I was wondering, since I know that you saw it, he did that other 3D CG movie, and I didn't see it. I can't remember what it was called. The lady has like a white sort of mecha outfit.
Oh, you're talking about Expelled from Paradise.
Yes, yeah, that's the other 3D CG one he did. And
it was all right.
Yeah.
I mean, like, his masterpiece, in my opinion, which...
IMO.
I am going... Yeah, IMO. At some point, I'm going to make you watch Thunderbolt Fantasy for this show.
right. Okay. That is... Yeah, because I've only seen one episode, the first episode.
But Thunderbolt, in my opinion, is his... next to Madoka, you know?
Yeah.
These are his twin sort of masterpieces. I like them more than I like, you know, Psychopaths or any of his other stuff. Okay. But if he's going to make something, like, I put him pretty much right next to Anno in terms of, like, if you're making something, I'm going to fucking watch it. Like,
yeah, and he's experimented with a lot of different mediums at this point, too. So, I mean, he wrote the novel for Fate Zero, and then...
Oh, right, you know, Fate Zero. That's like...
Yeah, he wrote the novel for that. And he did, oh, you know, that weird visual novel. I think Saya no Uta was him.
Yeah, that was a while.
Right, that's early. That's early stuff. And then, you know, so he did Fate Zero, and then he had Madoka, and he's had Psychopaths, both which I really, really like. And then, you know, he moved into Tokusatsu. He did a Kamen Rider series.
He did a Kamen Rider season, yeah.
So he did that. And then he went to Puppets. And now he's back happy. CG again. So, I mean, he never really does the same thing. He likes to dabble in a lot of things, it seems like.
Yeah, he does. I think he just kind of does what he wants at this point.
Right.
Like, if you can hire that guy, like, hire that guy to make a thing. Admittedly,
his Kamen Rider season was all about fruit, if I remember right.
Something like that.
Well, that was the theme, anyway.
Yeah, no, I don't know. I love Gen, and mostly I love Thunderbolt. Like,
yeah,
we'll get to it at some point. I'll make you watch it.
Okay. Yeah, maybe like we'll watch Thunderbolt and then do a recap on Dark Crystal or something.
Yeah, sure. We'll do a puppet.
We'll do a puppet show.
We'll do a whole puppet show. Yeah. That would be great.
All right, and then other than that, there's a new, you mentioned earlier, your favorite Dreamcast game was Space Channel 5, and they've got a PSVR, new Space Channel 5 thing coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Space Channel 5 VR Kinda Funky Newsflash.
Sounds fun.
Is the full name on that, and it looks like they're keeping the same sort of, like, Judy Jetson aesthetic to it.
Her name is Ulala.
Right, but I mean, that's her look, right? Is that sort of, you know, Jetson's futuristic, retro-futuristic thing?
Yeah, it's very 60s. Yeah, always what they go for. I'm kind of surprised that they're calling back to that, but everything old is new again, so...
Yeah, they're recreating the original game, but they'll have new characters, Lou and Ki.
All right.
Who are rookie reporters for Ulala. So, yeah, that might... I'm trying to imagine playing that in VR, like just having a bunch of people in VR masks or whatever, like doing the dances at a con or something.
Yeah, right.
Space Channel 5 dance off.
Yeah. No, that would be fun. Like that, it sounds like fun. I don't have a VR setup, so this
is me neither.
Completely fucking irrelevant to me, but you know, I'm happy that Ulala is coming back because, you know, it's a great character design. So, yeah,
and then
sounds good.
Yeah. And then the only other news is more of, hey, you know, guys, pay your people. We had two articles go up last week about some issues with payment from anime studios. It actually kind of ties into a news piece that we had go up today about, it said in 2018, 30% of anime studios were in the red, which... is really unfortunate. I don't know if it's surprising, given kind of the huge bubble that we saw over the last couple of years, that there's going to end up popping at some point. But I guess you could say this is related to that or not, but Studio 4C, there's an employee there that's linked arms up with a union to try and get his overtime paid and hasn't had a whole lot of luck. And then the other person who has had more luck is... an animation director, Kohei Ashiya, who he worked on all the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure series. Mm. He hadn't been paid at all for the last season that he worked on, I guess. But update says that he's gotten some of that. So that's good. But I don't know. It's kind of...
Yeah, that sucks.
Yeah.
It's kind of a bad situation there. Like, so Netflix, they dumped... $500 million into the anime industry.
Oh, wow.
That's how much they have spent. Probably a little bit more than that. And only some studios benefited from that. Like, only a handful. And the rest, I think, are struggling still. to make ends meet. And so it's hard to hear some of these stories because the artists absolutely deserve to be paid, you know, on time. Because the freelance life, it's rough. Like, you have to, you know, you got to chase down payments.
Yeah, and especially in any kind of artistic, I mean, we're talking about anime specifically here, but a lot of artistic careers where you're working freelance, whether it's graphic design or illustration, things like that, it's like it's always chasing down the next job, the next payment.
Yeah. And, you know, you like a lot of places that hire freelancers, like, you really do have to chase down your payment. Like, you have to basically force them to pay you. So it's a dicey situation. I feel strongly for the artists that have to do that and understand the situation pretty closely. So, you know, I hope Studio 4C will be able to continue, like, to exist. But it seems like maybe, like, they haven't really made that much stuff.
The most recent thing that came out was, I mean, it was supposed to be spectacular visually, was that, I was going to say Children of the Whales, but that's that other one. And I'm always mixing them up. Children of the Sea.
Right.
Yeah. And I mean, it looked gorgeous, but I mean, at what stake do we put that at? I don't want the artists, like, sleeping at their desks and staying there for days and then not getting paid overtime to make that. Like,
yeah.
Please don't do that.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Like, I don't necessarily want your art if you're exploiting people in order to make it.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's not that important that you you make this if you have to exploit people in order to make the thing. So, anyway. Anything else?
No, not as far as news. All we've got left, I guess, is the big question, which is, what are you looking forward to watching next season? Or I guess I should say tomorrow when the season kicks off.
Yeah, right. So we've got the fall 2019 anime preview guide coming up pretty soon. That's tomorrow.
You sound so enthusiastic.
Yeah, well, you
just
know.
Just pumped.
You know, I always look forward to handling that shit.
I'm here as a co-pilot for first time.
Which, you know, which is great. But admittedly, there ain't much that this season looks kind of weak. Like, I'm not so certain that there is. Like, I'm looking forward to the next episode of the show we're going to talk about in a little bit here, Vinland Saga. But
right.
Other than that. I don't know. Like, it's Psycho Pass written by Tohu Bukata. I don't care. Like,
yeah,
you can't get me to care about that. And, like, there just ain't much. Like,
I mean, there was one big show that I was really kind of hyped for, and it's going to be a Netflix jail, and that's Beastars.
Yeah, Beastars seems like it would be good, but yeah, it's a Netflix jail, so we don't get it. Until they decide to release it,
like Christmas or something.
Yeah, probably something like that. And, like, I guess there's a Fate Grand Order show. I
don't play the mobile game.
Yeah, neither do I. So, like,
I'm sure there are people who are looking forward to that. But I mean,
if it's Fate and it's not written by Gen, I don't care. Like, I just don't care.
Yeah, I tested out the waiver show because it had a lot of the points that I would usually watch something not Fate related for. Like, it was like, oh, okay, this is like a Fate version of something I would usually watch, so I'll watch. And I wasn't able to stay into it either because it still had too much, like, info dumping, I guess, for me. And I try new ones out as they come out if I think there's some kind of hook there that I might like. But at this point, I haven't sat through an entire one since Fate Zero and the first season of the Fate Stay Night remake. They even lost me on that one. Like, I watched the original by Studio Dean
right
a long time ago. I watched that whole thing, but otherwise, yeah, I've watched one half of the UFO Table remake and Fate Zero, and that's it. That's all.
What's
but
next?
There really isn't, like, a whole lot else that, I mean, Blade of the Immortals getting a remake, I guess, and I've never watched the original or read the manga, but that one has a pretty, I don't know, there's a fan base for that, right?
Yeah, sure, I guess.
I don't know. I'll check that one out, I guess. I think it's probably going to be on, yeah, it'll be on Amazon, though, so probably won't keep up with it because I just don't go to Amazon Video, like, regularly.
Yeah.
I'll watch Chihaya Furu 3.
I never finished Chihaya Furu 2, I think. I don't think I ever finished that. Like, I mean, I know that one has a fan base and everything,
yeah.
But, like, I don't know. I just, it didn't really grab me as much as I sort of hoped it would. So, yeah.
There was a short period of time where, like, I had the cadence of the poem stuck in my head after, marathoning the show, as they always read them at that same pace. So I'll probably watch that. I'll watch My Hero Academia Season 4, because of course I will.
Oh, sure. Sure. I'm looking forward to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I saw the first episode of Anime Expo, and, I mean, it was, I guess...
Whatever. Yeah,
it was kind of whatever. It was just, you know, like, set up, really. So I don't think... I don't know if it'll grab anybody. I was a little disappointed, but it's a Shonen Jump show at this point. So it's sort of just continuing from right where it left off. And then other than that, I guess I have some interest in No Gun's Life because the main character has a literal gun for a head and that's kind of weird. So I kind of want to see what the hell that's about.
Sure.
But yeah, that's kind of it.
Yeah. Well, you know, we work in an industry where every 3 months there's another 40 new shows.
Yeah.
So, and we have to cover all of them. So, you know, I don't know. Maybe winter will be stronger.
I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of weird looking. I don't know. Yeah. There's just a lot of Sword Art Online that's coming back for the people who really like that. But I fell off last season.
Yeah. Whatever. Yeah. Okay. Sword Art Online. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, guess what? Kirito decides to get involved with more strange and confusing VR technology that he winds up getting fucked over by. Yeah, yeah. I bet you that's what happens.
I bet there's still some of that. I mean, it's a continuation of whatever happened last. So I don't even think there was a finale last season.
He could just. It's not. They're not done yet. Like, that Alicization novel is, like, really long, so...
That arc, yeah.
Yeah, so it's gonna take a while for them to finish that shit out. But yeah, whatever. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever.
Banania.
Sure. Three minutes. It's 3 minutes long.
I've bought so much merch from that stupid show, and I'll just watch more of it and buy more of their crap. I don't...
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for it. They're like cats in fruit. Lindsay, come here.
Yeah, no, it's very cute. So
yeah,
it'll be fun to see that again.
Anyway,
so for this week, we are talking about the anime Vinland Saga.
Very good.
So Vinland Saga. Lindsay, what is Vinland Saga about?
Vinland Saga is about Vikings, specifically Thorfinn, who is the son of a chief. And they are living a peaceful life outside of Denmark. I think they're in Greenland, but I might be wrong.
Iceland.
They're in Iceland. All right. So they're in Iceland. It's just an island off the coast. It's the same fucking place.
Whatever. Yeah.
So the chief of the Iceland village is Thor's, and his son, he has a daughter, and Thorfinn is his son, and he's married, and he used to be notorious as like a really prominent warrior, killed tons of dudes, but now he's just, you know, living a peaceful life, kind of like Maximus, if you think about it.
Kind of like Mufasa.
Kind of like Mufasa, too, and he serves a similar purpose in the show. So, anyway, he's living that out. He frees slaves, you know? He doesn't agree with slavery. Mm-hmm. But they're about to go on a run for supplies when they are attacked by pirates. And Thorfinn stowed away on the boat. And so he sees his dad killed and he vows for vengeance. But first he's got to stow away again with the pirates and get super strong and stuff so he can kill the pirate leader and avenge his father. And so for the first 11 episodes, it's mostly about Thorfinn losing his humanity to become a ruthless killer so he can get strong enough to kill the pirate guy as they travel around. And they pretty much get in a couple different like battles and stuff, but they're mercenaries for hire. So they don't really have allegiances. It's whoever's going to pay them.
Right. They get involved in the war between the Danish and the English.
Right.
You know, the Vikings sort of sail up and start fucking shit up.
Pillaging, you know, that whole business.
Thorfinn just like straight up becomes like the most hardcore murderer.
Yeah. He wields like short swords, basically, or maybe they're even a little bit smaller than that. Longer than a dagger.
They're daggers. Long. Yeah.
Yeah.
He has twin daggers. That's his weapon of choice.
And he's jumpy. So he just like jumps around and slices throats and lands on your shoulders and cuts your throat.
Yeah, yeah.
All that kind of crazy shit.
How did you feel about this one?
I like it a lot. It's got the historical fiction angle that I like.
Right. Like we were just talking about.
It's got that. I'm kind of interested to see where Thorfinn goes. Cause this definitely doesn't feel like anywhere near the end of his character arc.
Oh, no. You know? No. The manga is like, I think it's like 9-10 volumes, something like that. It's pretty long. Like,
yeah.
And I think we're only halfway through this first season.
Right.
So, I don't know. I fucking love, this was like my jam. I was like, oh yeah. Like, I was like, oh, this reminds me of all my favorite historical fiction movies, like Kingdom of Heaven and Gladiator. You know, like, it reminds me, like, did you kind of pick up on what I was, like, why I paired these two together?
Well, yeah, definitely. Like I was saying, like, Thor's and Maximus seem very similar, and there's parts in this story, in Vinland Saga, where Thorfinn, you know, sees apparitions of his father to, like, talk to him about how he needs to, like, lay down his swords and he doesn't need vengeance
You mean like a man. You mean, like, the film The Lion King.
Right. Exactly, right. And, you know, and it all, but it also ties in with kind of Viking culture, too, because that would definitely be something Vikings would expect to experience, as far as like your ancestors coming to you to give you advice, especially if they were warriors and things like that.
Sure.
Yeah. His dad's such a good guy. And I'm waiting to see Thorfinn like grow out of his anger to become like a competent, I don't know. I'm expecting to pick up like a band of vagabonds or something and then start another style adventure once he moves on from these pirates and stuff. I can't stand the Pirate King guy. Like, I get that he's supposed to be sort of like a anti-hero, pragmatic piece of shit or something, but man, he killed Thor's though, and I can't forgive him for it either.
Yeah, oh, man. Yeah, no, Askeladd's a pretty complicated character, but frankly, the only thing about this is it feels like there's only two characters, Thorfinn and Askeladd, and that's it. The other characters seem like they just don't matter at all.
Yeah,
I love Thorfinn's sister. Like, that was a great episode where she's just kicking ass, taking names, and like takes care of her mom.
Yeah,
and is like super competent.
Right.
Like, that was great, and so I want to see more of her. We have not seen more of her yet, but right. I feel like we definitely will at some point.
They've just introduced the Christian Prince character. I think he's going to stay around. Knut?
Oh, right, yeah. I do like how explicit they are about how religion, how much of a role religion played.
Right.
Back then. Like, this is historical fiction, but, you know, they get that part right, I think. Like, because it really was like that. They would, you know, Vikings would fucking mock Christians and fuck them up. So it's interesting to see a show that is this, you know, direct about it.
Yeah, it seems like, I feel like I don't have quite enough historical knowledge to speak authoritatively about it, but it's definitely showing Christianity as sort of like the pacifist option at this point. So like, if you are a Christian, it's supposed to be very strongly adhering to the pacifist teachings of Jesus. So we have the prince here who like won't fight, and he's just like praying the whole time because he doesn't believe in initiating bloodshed. And then we also had the older lady who took Thorfinn in for a little while and hid him from the people looking for him and fed him and like bathed him and like got the fleas and stuff out of his hair, and was very, I felt really bad for her.
That was brutal.
Yeah, like, the show opened her heart to him and was trying to be like the good neighbor, essentially, and then he still helped the pirates pillage her village.
Well, he he specifically burned her house down in order to signal them where he was.
Right. Like, he tried to get her to flee. And there is also a language barrier the whole time that they make sure to, like, you know, that he speaks Norse and they speak English and they can't communicate, even though everyone's speaking Japanese. So,
Thorfinn, Thorfinn's stance is basically like, I'm going to fuck you up. I will fucking kill you. Like, that's his stance the entire time.
I miss my dad.
Like, and he tells that old lady, run.
Yeah.
Run away. Because I'm going to mess you up. This is going to go bad. Like, that character, the Thorfinn, I really responded to him. Like, I thought it was, I think he's really fun to watch. Like,
yeah, he's just having a really rough adolescence.
He's having a hard time. Yeah. Like, you spend a long time watching him starve in the woods.
Yeah.
Like,
as he's just like tagging along behind them, trying to like pick up any scraps. And...
Yeah. Right. And then like, Askeladd sort of becomes like a surrogate father figure after murdering his father in front of him. Like,
yeah,
it's a tough one, but it's good. I love this show. I think my number one for the year so far has been the saga. I really loved it.
Yeah, it was really good though. And it's Wit Studio again. So, I mean,
I like that big flex they have at the beginning of every episode with the motorcycle logo.
Yeah.
That's a flex. Like,
they're like, yes, we are cool.
Yeah, we're fucking rad. Like, that's basically what that is. Like, yeah.
Just like revving the engine, going off into the animation sunset. Like,
yeah.
You want to ride with us? You can't ride with us.
Yeah, it's good stuff. And frankly, the animation throughout is excellent. Like, it's wonderful. The show looks great.
Yeah.
It's kind of a shame that it's trapped on Amazon Prime because nobody watches anything on Amazon Prime.
Right.
So, and they don't, like, you don't promote it or anything. So, like, most people, it feels like a lot of people don't even know this thing exists.
Right. So, if you've missed it this season, guys, please log on to Amazon Prime and go watch it.
It's on Amazon Prime.
You're missing out.
Yeah. It's totally worth your time. I really liked this one. But it's in my wheelhouse, you know, like historical fiction that's kind of snappy, you know, the pacing's real snappy, main characters real mad all the time. Like,
oh, what do you think that, what's that giant dude that they go up against at the end? Who's basically just in it because he thinks it'll be more fun to fight the Vikings. And so he sides with the British.
Well, that feels like the next arc, which we're not quite there yet.
Okay. But, tree trunk guy. I'll just call him tree trunk guy.
Yeah.
He fights with tree trunks.
Yeah, I can't quite remember. Thorkel, right?
Yeah, Thorkel the humongous or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And all right, okay. Sounds fun. Like, let's do it. Let's fight him. Like,
yeah, I liked him because, like, so because his whole thing is he's just looking for a good fight to get into Valhalla. So that's his entire jam there is like, who will I get to fight the most people with and end up in Valhalla? So the way they end up trying to defeat him, because once they try to go head on, it doesn't work. So they're like, well, we'll just starve him of attention and he'll get bored. And that's like essentially what they do. It's the same thing I do to my toddler when he has like a fit. It's like, all right, I'm just not going to give you any reinforcement until you calm down. So they essentially do that and he just starts freaking out. He starts like throwing things at them to try and get attention to like egg them on.
Right.
He kidnaps the prince at one point and hopes that will get them to come after him because he's bored.
Right. Yeah.
It was good. It was good.
It's a good show, man. I like it a lot. I think it's real good. But it, like I said, it's in my wheelhouse. Like, this is exactly the kind of thing that I like pretty much like the most.
Yeah.
So watch Vinland Saga. It's real good.
Yeah.
Okay, before we wrap up, we've got some Twitter questions here. Let's see here. Yon Song asks, I think this is the best anime I've seen since Devilman Crybaby. He's talking about Vinland Saga. Maybe choice for the setting is perfect for what I think the story is going to end up saying. Haven't read the manga. What setting, time, or place would you like to see in a high-production anime work?
So, for me, it's definitely, like, Versailles, France. So, with, like, the big...
Again?
What do you mean again? Are we in deja vu, right?
Well, no, like, Rose of Versailles is already...
Yeah, okay, so, you know, yeah, like, Rose of Versailles. But, again, that one... Okay, I've seen the first half of Rose of Versailles, and, I mean, it's got a lot of drama or whatever, but if I got, like, a version that was more like The Favorite or Marie Antoinette, where it's, I don't know, a little edgier, I guess. A little more fun, even.
Yeah, a little more fun, a little harder. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. That would be, that's totally my jam. Big hats, white powdered faces, drawn on makeup, the whole thing.
Sounds fun. I think I would pick Ancient Egypt. That would be my answer to that one. Straight ancient Egypt, like not like a crazy sci-fi future ancient Egypt, but like actual,
not like the pyramids are aliens.
Yeah, no, like actual ancient Egypt. That would be super, super cool, super fun.
Like the Prince of Egypt.
Yes, one of my favorite movies. Man, I love that fucking movie. We're gonna definitely talk about that one sometime.
I've brought up two different things now at this point. Where now we're gonna have to.
Now we're going to have to do an episode about it. Yep. Yep. All right. Turtleshell 813 asks, how important do you think historical accuracy is when it comes to historical fiction and or adaptations of historical texts? It's not. I don't care. No. If I want the actual history, I will read a book or watch a documentary. But if I'm watching narrative fiction, it's okay. Whatever you're going to do, it's okay. You're watching something that is mostly an emotional narrative anyway. So if you really just care about, like, sort of nitpicking the details and shit, read the book.
No, that's not really a point in watching a movie if that's all you're interested in doing anyway.
Yeah, read the book or watch the documentary or something. Like,
attend a seminar.
Yeah, right, exactly. Attend a seminar. Take a class. Like, that's not what this is for. Mm-hmm. This is entertainment. So you're supposed to be entertained.
Yeah.
You know.
Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained? let's see here. Okay. Branko Berkson asks, would Joaquin Phoenix's acting be at home in Vinland Saga? Yes. Yes, it would be. I love his acting in that movie, and I would love it if he just fucking showed up as Commodus in Vinland Saga. Just fucking stalks
like
up.
I've had enough of you Vikings.
Yeah, it stalks up in his purple armor, just like I think so anyway.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Adam Bomb 7 asks, between shows like Dororo, Vinland Saga, and the upcoming Blade of the Immortal, is Amazon facilitating the production of seinen shows that otherwise wouldn't see the light of day? No, I
think they've just got like a licensing deal with a particular block that happens to run those. I don't think they have anything to do with like them being produced. But.
Yeah, no. Well, also, like, you're talking about insanely popular manga, like Vinland Saga is very popular manga. So is Blade of the Immortal. So is Dororo. Like, those would have gotten made anyway. So yeah. I wouldn't necessarily credit them with that. Smith Eric asks, Clarissa Explains It All or The Secret Life of Alex Mack?
I've got strong opinions about this.
Okay.
Okay, so the answer is Clarissa Explains It All because as a child, I hated Alex Mack. Not for any rational reason. I don't have anything against the actress now, but for some reason at the time, I just really disliked her and her hat and her overalls and her goo gimmick and... It actually like trailed on into me disliking her character in the Babysitter's Club adaptation for no reason either. But she's in that, and I also hated her there.
I didn't even know there was a Babysitter's Club adaptation.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, really?
Late 90s. It might have been the same era as the Parent Trap remake, you know.
Oh, okay.
With Lindsay Lohan around that time period, I think it came out. I had it on VHS. So, I see.
Was it just a movie or was it like a show?
It was a movie.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
It's like 100,000 of those books, though.
Right. Yeah, there was. And I had a dream as a child. I always wanted to start a club about something. and have that like female bonding experience of between me and fellow club members. I attempted a babysitter's club. I attempted a midnight society. I attempted a lot of things. They never worked out, but
you wait. Wait, you tried to make your own babysitter's club?
I did. I babysat as a kid. I had, you know, a regular babysitting gig with a couple of my neighbors. They didn't pay me enough money.
Sure,
I was, but you know, exploited. But yeah. Sure. $3 an hour, come on.
Sure. But sure. You attempted to create a babysitter's club?
Yeah, because I had another friend who lived in the neighborhood who also babysat. How many? I was like, we just need a couple more.
How many? That's wonderful. all right. From Zardos Delphi, what is Lindsay's Netflix wish, i.e., if you could will one Netflix show or movie into existence, either as a new IP or an adaptation of an old one, what show or movie would you materialize?
I've thought about this a lot, not necessarily with Netflix, but like I've wanted for a very long time, like a historical fiction. Well, not historical fiction, but historical television series based on the real De Chevalier de Aeon. So there was like a weird gonzo anime series that came out in the aughts that doesn't really have a whole lot to do with the real person, but the real Chevalier d'Aeon was a transgender spy and had a lot of intrigue and involved with a lot of things, making people mad. At one point, when they began living as a woman, they were able to make the aristocracy pay for their entire new wardrobe, which is just amazing. Like, that's such a fucking power move.
Yeah.
And, yeah, just had a very, very interesting life. So I'd love to see a real historical like series based on their life.
Cool. I mean, my answer to this question is they already made it. Like, they already made it. It's called The Dark Crystal, Age of Resistance. Like, if you ask me, like, well, what would your dream project be? Like, it's that.
Yeah. Someone just like tapped into your head while you were asleep and they're like, here's all the good Netflix ideas. Let's get these out there.
Well, you know, entertainment is kind of dominated right now by like Gen X bullshit. So I suppose it's not a surprise. Sushnotabi asks, is there any possible scenario where seinen shows like Vinland Saga gain more of a hold on the anime market as opposed to occupying the pseudo niche they occupy now, which I think you're a little mistaken there. Like, those are not niche shows. Like, those are hugely popular manga.
Yeah.
And the shows only feel niche because your Twitter bubble only talks about what's on Crunchyroll or Funimation.
Mm-hmm.
That's what you're actually responding to.
Right. Like, and the term seinen is kind of arbitrary at this point, too.
Yeah. Those labels just don't matter. Like, they don't matter. What matters is what you like. Like, doesn't matter if you're like, I only like shonen. I only like seinen. I only like shoujo. You know, what the fuck? Like,
that doesn't really mean anything because like seinen is like what? Targeted towards males between the ages of 18 and 35. That's anything, really.
Who fucking cares about the marketing demographic? Just watch what you like. It doesn't fucking matter. Seriously.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter. I don't fucking care what the genre is supposed to be. I just want to see good things. I want to see good entertainment. That's what I want. So anyway, stop caring about that shit so much
and watch O Maidens in their Savage Season.
Oh no shit. Yeah. Cool. Let's see. Overdouble One asks, if you could go back in time and safely observe any historical event, when and where would you go?
So I've thought about this a lot too.
Okay.
And if I can't interfere with events at all, I want to go see a whole bunch of the old wonders of the world, like the Alexandria Library,
mm-hmm.
which like it pains me to think about how all of that burned, like deeply. I want to see that. I want to see the Colossus at Rhodes and I want to see the Gardens of Babylon. So I guess I would just go to like roughly that time period and travel around and hope I don't die of the flu.
And like have to take like a sailing ship that would.
Yeah. I get a chariot.
Yeah. Yeah. You really should play the video game Assassin's Creed Odyssey because it gives you the opportunity to do pretty much all of that.
I would complete no missions and kill absolutely no one. I would just like walk around on the street, visit the market,
like
go in some buildings.
I haven't talked about this very much, but like that's basically my favorite video game of the last like year and a half.
Oh yeah.
You get to play a really strong lady who has a really great voice actress. Mm-hmm. And you can just go around, kill everything, fuck whoever you want, and then see the entire world. Like, it's incredible. Like, I loved that game.
I would just, like, play it as, like, an old version of The Sims. Yeah. So I would get a job, like, at a bookstore and, like, work there.
I mean, not really. You only have so many options. You can kill and fuck, and that's basically it. Like, those are your two options. So, but it's really good. Like, I love that game. I highly recommend it if you're interested in that time period.
Okay.
Okay. Final Fury K asks, is Vinland Saga the show that Amazon has hurt the most with having it exclusively, especially because it seems like it's the only show they have this season?
I don't know if they've heard it more than the other ones. I think all of them have sort of suffered. But maybe it's gotten worse since Anime Strike ended even. Like, they don't even have the... I don't know.
Well, if I go to Amazon and type in Vinland Saga, what I get is, like, out-of-print volumes of the manga. Mm-hmm. Like, it doesn't even give me the show.
Yeah, their search engine's real bad. It's real bad. So, when I was looking up Vinland Saga to stream it for the show, like, I think it gave me a bunch of things that weren't related at all until I put like Vinland in all the way. Like, it wouldn't even show up in the search results at VINL. Like, it's not intuitive.
Yeah. No, it's bad.
Yeah.
Nobody likes it when something's Amazon exclusive.
Yeah.
And honestly, nobody talks about the show because it's Amazon exclusive. So hopefully this will end at some point, but we'll see.
Yeah.
All right. Last question. Cowboy B-Boy asks, how do you think Gladiator ranks against the other Crow-Scott collaborations with Goodyear, American Gangster, Body of Lies, and Robin Hood? It is easily number one. Easily the strongest thing they made together. The rest of that stuff, honestly, those aren't good movies. Like, they're kind of shitty. So
yeah, I think I saw American Gangster when it came out. I don't think I've seen the other ones. And I think this movie came out before Gladiator came out, before Russell Crowe kind of went through he had like a personality sort of thing in the media, like, because he had like an outburst or something. I think he threw a cell phone at someone.
Yeah.
But I think it kind of like it hurt his rep for a little while. And then I think he's mostly recovered, though.
I mean, whatever. I don't even know what he's done recently. Like,
so maybe he hasn't recovered.
I have no idea. I mean, sometimes actors, they go through rough periods. Mm-hmm. And hopefully he's okay, I guess. Yeah. Whatever, Gladiator sure is a good movie, though.
Yeah, that's great.
Anyway, I think that wraps us up. Thanks, man.
Yeah, no problem. See you in a couple days.
Yeah. we're getting ready. All right, I'll see you soon.
See ya.
Okay, that's our show. Big thanks to Lindsay for stopping by. The theme song is Bucharest. It's by the band The New Division. You can check them out at newdivisionmusic.com. Don't forget, subscribe to us on iTunes and, you know, all that social media bullshit. Anyway, see y'all next week.